All right, so the lower L and upper L class have done their 4-minute facts practice here, and I have some comments concerning facts practice, a little bit of guidance that I want to offer more to parents if they need it concerning facts practice. Just like with the test, it's interesting because as a teacher, I have certain expectations and I would do things in a classroom if my students were in front of me and it would work in a very specific way. Since we are homeschooling, things are different. And we have to understand in homeschooling that we have a very special advantage, a wonderful thing, that is that mom and dad are paying close attention. The mom and dad are there, that you're in the home, you're being helped by people who are watching your work very closely, and this is a wonderful thing, and we need to really take advantage of that as much as possible. And so I am here as both a teacher and a parent. I'm watching Patrick Henry Powell work on the material, listen to me, and so on. And I'm watching him do facts practice. And I noticed something today that I thought might help some of you. I noticed that Patrick is not handling the drill well. I noticed that he's struggling a lot in a way that's not usual for him. Usually he does very well. And so I noticed that, for instance, being in a race while trying to write out things that are he has to think about is actually not helping him. So there has to be, as we are paying attention as parents and teachers together working on this, we have to pay close attention to how the exercise is doing for our students. And you guys as students also have to pay attention and be willing to talk about it with mom and dad and say, look, it's not good for me to write this out fast. I'm getting all kinds of spelling mistakes. I'm not capitalizing properly. I'm making lots of mistakes that I wouldn't normally make just because I'm trying to do it fast. So Mr. Patrick here is not going to be doing the facts practice races for a while. In our house, what's going to happen is Patrick is going to be copying the answer down, not racing to write it out completely from memory. He's going to be writing out a copy of the sheet based on one that has all the correct spelling written on it for him. Okay? You might find that that helps you also if you are a young student in the class, and you should ask mom and dad for help to make that happen if that's going to make it easier for you to do the exercise. The point of this exercise is not to do a race that just has you all nervous and scrambling and making lots of mistakes. That would not be sensible. The point of this exercise is to help you remember certain important facts and think about them as quickly and easily as possible. So if a writing race is not helping, then don't do it. Think about another way to approach the same exercise with the main aim being to learn. Okay? So, again, if anybody wants some personal guidance from me on that or would like to start a thread on the Yahoo group, I welcome that and it could be a very interesting discussion. Okay? So, now we are going to go to history through art. I'm just briefly going to stage that so that I'm going to go back to the main screen, get rid of a few things on my screen so that they don't clutter it up. And then I will show you the new painting and we will do the usual approach, which is I will canvas you for your initial reactions to the painting. So let me come back now. Did anyone have questions or comments about facts practice? Just one more reminder, next week is Facts Practice 1B. So we'll probably do a different one each week, and I will be making new ones, 1C and 1D and stuff. You'll see they're going to look different too. So, okay, let me know if you have questions or comments. Let's look at history through art now. Share my desktop. Here we go. right, so who would like to share their first impressions? Let me get my participants window open and let's see what you guys have to say. Jeremy doesn't want to. I don't know why that is. Jeremy, now I'm going to put you on the spot after I'm done with the rest of these guys. Wyatt, Henry, go ahead.
Well, this is Wyatt here.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself feeling bored because I already know what's in the paintings. There's nothing for me to try to find out.
No, don't think that. Let me help you get over that, Wyatt. Because a painting is not just the title and a basic idea. A painting is a whole universe of wonderful explorations. There are many, many characters. There are many different characters presented in many different ways. There are details, wonderful, rich details to explore. So, you wouldn't expect an explorer to arrive at a new continent and say, "Oh, I found the continent. I'm bored now. I'm gonna go home," right? What does the explorer say? He says, "I gotta look at this whole thing. I gotta go and look at all of it, because this is probably much more wonderful than it first appears." Alright, Wyatt? So, that's the attitude to take. It's not, "I know it, so I'm done." Rather, "I know it, so now I can look for other things that I don't know." All right? Don't ever let it be a dead end, what you know. All right, let's have a couple other people offer up some thoughts. Dana, go ahead.
I don't like it because I see slaves running away. I mean, Indians, not slaves. I mean, like, Indians running away and everybody scared of the Columbus.
All right, you're assuming you know who it is, and that's all right. So that might be one of the challenges in looking at this painting, is thinking that we know somebody, and therefore we don't need to look at the painting. That also would be a mistake. So what we have here is a really interesting presentation about something that happened and a way of thinking about it. So we have to try not to let our initial thoughts prevent us from doing that, in your case as well, Dana. Okay, Patrick, what's your first impression?
Well, I just wanted to say, it seems like it may have something to do with the discovery of America.
Okay, that's that's a good guess, right? That's your initial thought. All right, so what I'm sensing is, and I think I'd like to move on from that, is that a lot of the first impressions have to do with content, and that's okay. I'm wondering whether anybody can give me a first impression relating to art. In other words, what are your eyes telling you? What is your reaction to the painting? Not to what you think you already know, which I guarantee you at your age is very, very little, so you don't need to worry so much about that. I know how much I've learned in my entire professional career about this topic, and I know how much I still need to know. So there's a heck of a lot to know here. Let's not think that we know everything too quickly. Let's look at the painting. What's your reaction to the painting, Rosetta?
I really like the guy standing in front of the other people with the flag.
Okay, you like the man in the red outfit. You find him to be an interesting character, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, an appealing, compelling character. Okay, I agree. Abby, what about you?
My first impression is I don't like it, and I am drawn to the man in red as well. I don't like it because it looks kind of like a mess.
It looks a little messy to you. Okay, that's an interesting comment about a painting. Is it organized or is it messy? And I would agree with you that if a picture is messy, I wouldn't like it either. But I don't think it's messy. I actually think it's actually remarkably well organized. And so I'm going to try to convince you of that, Abby. But it's okay. I think that it's fair to say that your first impression would be that it's a little messy. So don't get me wrong there. I think that's fair. And so it's going to be interesting to talk about that. I think that this painting is complicated or complex, but it's also organized in a very special way. All right, couple more thoughts then about the painting. Sigourney.
I really like it.
Okay, what do you like about it?
Well, there are a few bright colors here and there, and there are shiny objects like the silver, and then Columbus's bright red on him.
Okay, so in terms of the way that the artist has made the painting, you like the way that he has used colors. You like the way that he has created textures. When you say shiny, you mean things that are reflecting light and they look metallic. And so you like the technique that he used to create those effects, and I do too. All right, so that's a very interesting one. Yeah, I agree with you entirely that the use of color, the use of texture, the use of a lot of different things makes this painting quite fascinating. So you see, that's another way of looking at the painting, okay? And so that's the thing when we're looking at art is, and especially history through art, we have to kind of enjoy both parts of it. That's part of what's special about history through art is we get to look at art. Historians tell us about history through words. Artists tell us about history with paint. It's pretty neat. Caleb, go ahead.
My first impression was the background looks sort of dull to me. The painting looks sort of dull.
Okay. Yeah, the background is kind of plain, isn't it? I think the artist did that quite on purpose. In other words, he doesn't want us to pay attention to it much. He wants us to look in the foreground. So I think that's just a little bit of an artist trick, not to make the background too interesting, otherwise we're going to end up looking over there too much. So that's fine. All right, so I think that's good for first impressions. It's a really interesting one because one of the challenges of looking at paintings that we know something about is not to let what we know get in the way of looking at the painting. That's actually why I do not tell you the title when we look at a painting. Because once people know the title, it's a very strange experience. If you know the title and you think you know something about it already, then your brain fills up. It's like you remember and you try to think about the things you already know, and it kind of fills up your head, and it's hard not to let that take over and to use your eyes to look. And so people call this prejudice. And it's a very, very common problem for people to look at something with fresh eyes and to think about a topic without insisting on thinking you know something ahead of time. Maybe you don't know it as well as you do. And remember one of my heroes, Socrates, one of his rules was to ask, do you know what you think you know? Do you really know it? Or are you just telling yourself that you know it? Right, so we have to be like that when we look at art. We have to try to look at it with fresh eyes. All right, so in that, let's move on here in this scene and talk about main character, main characters, or no main characters. So let's first have a vote for people. Raise your hand if you think there's only one main character. And then, of course, you've got to be able to back that up with at least one reason. So if you think there's only one, raise your hand and back it up. You're going to have to tell me why. Okay, so that's interesting. More than half the class thinks there's only one main character. So about two-thirds, almost three-quarters now. Okay, so let's think about that. Anna, please, tell me who it is and why.
Okay, I think that the man in the orangey-red outfit with the big yellow flag is the main character.
Okay.
He's in the middle, and he looks very proud, too. So.
Okay, interesting. You said he's in the middle. Now, he's not really in the middle, but he's close to the middle. So we got to be careful about that. But the two things you first said, that his colorful outfit and his big flag, those are two good reasons why he's a main character, because nobody else has that. So there's a couple of the guys with a little bit of color and a little bit of flair in their outfits, but not a lot. This man's outfit is very, very showy. Okay, Patrick, what's your idea about the one main character?
Well, I think that it's the guy in the red and kind of orange clothes.
Okay, so I think everybody's going to pick this guy. So why?
Well, he does look a little bit brighter from the sleeves. Oh. And his flag seems to have some kind of certain pictures on it.
Okay, right. So again, relating to the flag as a good answer, it's a special kind of a flag. That's a good point. It's big, and it's also special and unique. And you mentioned his sleeves being kind of shiny in some ways. That's an interesting one. I was thinking more about the white collar. The whiteness, if you look on this painting, where are there any bright white patches? Really, that is the brightest white patch in the entire painting. There's some shiny stuff here, some shiny stuff over here, right? But this is the only white, bright white patch. How interesting. When an artist does that, who knows what he's doing, he's not pretending there, right? He's wearing gray tights as opposed to everybody else's. So uniqueness of outfit is something. And so what else here? Jack, what did you want to contribute there?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
The reasons I had
were all already said. Okay. So everybody check to see whether your hand is up if you have something else to contribute, please. And leave it up if you do. Okay, that had an effect, didn't it? Jeremy, go ahead.
It's because he's looking up. No, the other characters are looking up.
Oh, nicely done. Good point. He's looking up. The other guys are all kind of looking around. Yeah, good one. Uniqueness is what we are talking about, right? So in terms of his gesture and posture, he is unique. Well said, Jeremy. Okay, Rosetta, how about you?
I think some of the people are looking at him.
Some of the other characters are looking at him. Good. So he's looking up. But this guy over here is looking at him. This guy's looking at him. So, yeah, some of the other characters are looking at him. I would add to that, Rosetta, that the other characters are grouped around him and behind him. So that gives him a leadership position, doesn't it? They are behind and around. And so he's in front of everybody. Okay, so that matters, too. Oh, yeah, and there's a man kneeling down here who's looking up at him. Right, okay, so you know what? It's pretty convincing, I think. So I think we can leave it at that, unless somebody, so put your hands down, folks. What about somebody who wants to argue that there's more than one main character? Is there anybody that wants to argue that there's more than one main character? All right, we have one person who's going to wade into this argument. Go ahead, Sigourney, go ahead.
I think there are three main characters. The one that many people are talking about in the most bright colors, and then the man in armor in the middle, and then the one on the far left, the closest to us, right there.
Okay, so you're proposing that these three men play a more prominent role in the group than others. And Sigourney, I'm glad you said that, because that's a very interesting comment. And what I'm going to say about that is, you're on to something. You're on to something, that not all the characters in this image are created equal. Some of them are more important than others. But the way that it works, Sigourney, is that the man in red is obviously the main character. However, there are levels of importance underneath him. And I would agree with you, Sigourney, that among the most important, if not the most important after him, are the two men in shining armor. They do tend to draw our eye and our attention. But I would say that they might not be the only ones. And so you're onto something, Sigourney. I would say that this picture has, I'm going to use a word that we've talked about before, it has a hierarchy in it. Hierarchy means levels. One person at the top, and then a couple people underneath him, and then a group of people underneath him, and another group underneath. So there's levels of characters in this painting. So that's a really interesting one. All right, so given our time constraints and our goals here for today, we are going to focus on character number one, naturally enough. So let's go ahead and look more closely at him. And so now that we've done that, tell me what you see beyond what we've already said. Please describe what you see about this character. Abby, get us started.
His sleeves, besides having gold in them, seem to be slightly puffy, and also he's not wearing a hat, and almost all the rest of the men are.
Yes. You might look around. There's something interesting about that. He's not wearing a hat while the others are. Very interesting. So, and he has gray hair, and he has a big beard, kind of grayish-brownish beard, so he's an older man. That's something interesting. He's wearing unusual-looking shoes. They're kind of stylish and almost look like poofy slippers. They're kind of not work boots or anything, are they? His outfit is rather decorative. It doesn't seem like a very practical outfit. Seems very decorated, doesn't it? What else? Dana, go ahead.
He's wearing the brightest color and everyone.
Yep.
And he has this white that makes you look at him directly.
Yeah, sure. We already said that, so that's good. All right. There's more things we haven't said. Wyatt or Henry? Wyatt, Henry, are you there? Oh, we're having that intermittent sound issue again, I'm afraid. Okay. Well, I'm going to push things along here because people are not volunteering important information. In his right hand, he is holding a sword. Did nobody think to mention that? This man's holding a sword. That has to be significant. There's not a lot of people holding swords here. I mean, some people have different kinds of weapons, but he's holding a weapon in his hand. Okay. But he's not holding it in a way that threatens anybody. He's holding it in a way that points the sword down to the ground. All right, so help me out here. There's a lot more to say. We have not reached the end. Sigourney, more information.
He has a big decorated flag.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit about it?
And there's two lions on it and two castles on it.
Two lions and two castles. I think we saw that before, didn't we? You know what? We're going to have to go back to our old art and look for two lions and two castles. I think we've seen that. Thank you for reminding us, Sigourney. I'm going to bring back the old art in the next lecture for some comparisons here. Okay, what else? Somebody already mentioned he's looking up. Is he looking up into the trees? Why? What is he looking up at? Somebody please help me with that. What's he looking at? What is he looking at? Do we know? Can we tell? Can we see? What is it, Sigourney?
There's something orange in the tree.
Well, yes, but he's not looking at that. There's a bird over here. But he's not looking in that direction. Okay? His gaze is almost vertical. Okay? His gaze is like this.
Maybe he's just looking up at the trees.
Well, there's no trees directly in front of him, so I don't think that's going to work out. He's looking up like this, pretty much along the same line as this thing that he's holding. Okay, so he's looking up that way. So what's he looking at, Patrick?
Well, I just wanted to say it seems like he may be looking at either something in the trees, the sky, or maybe nothing.
Right. He's looking. We don't see an object that he could be looking at. So he is not looking at an object. He is looking at the sky, up into the sky. Is it because he's interested in a bird in the sky? No. He's looking up. So what could that mean? Any interpretations of looking up? Maybe we don't know yet. Abby?
It's as if he's looking up Maybe it's a gesture of claiming the land for himself or for Spain.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, so we have the, if we combine the looking up and the pointing down, those go together. Okay, he's looking up and pointing down. So what is he doing? Abby says this is claiming the land with a flag in the name of a certain country and claiming it to, you know, for whom? Why would he have to look up to claim the land? Why does that matter? Rosetta?
Well, I thought that he might be looking up at heaven.
Yeah, up to God. Okay, so we are looking at Christians. This is a cross, right? And we have multiple crosses in the painting. So we have a sense that these are Europeans. And, of course, we're talking about American history. So we have Europeans, and they are arriving somewhere. And, well, this man, the leader of the expedition, is looking up to God and pointing his sword down to the ground. And he's saying, this I claim for you. In your name, what have you. Okay? So that is a very good start to understanding this painting, that we have a sword and we have a god, and we have a group of men arriving somewhere, and we have a flag. So it's a combination, isn't it? This painting shows us a lot of different things about a certain moment. The moment is not made up of, doesn't just have one part. This moment has many parts, and as we will see, as many characters as well. I want, before we go today, to focus on a character that might very well be one of you. And if you want to do a history throughout selfie on this painting, I couldn't pick a better character to do it with. Look at this guy down here. Wouldn't it be neat to be a child in an important moment of history? We have a child in this important moment. And what is he doing that is quite... Well, describe the child for me. What does he look like and what is he doing? Quite unusual. What an interesting moment to be a child. What is he doing? Abby?
He looks sad and he seems to be kneeling down and maybe saying a prayer.
Yeah, he's kneeling down and he does seem to be clutching his chest here with one hand. His other hand is a little bit in a fist. I don't know exactly what it is. I have a feeling I might know what it is. But I want to focus on what he's doing. What is his look? Patrick?
Well, it may look a little kind of sad, but I'm not really sure, but maybe also a little weird.
Well, weird in what way? That's a difficult expression. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree, but what about who's he looking at? Rosetta, who's he looking at? Do you want to...
I think he might be looking at that... That sword?
No. Look. Look what he's doing. Who's he looking at? Patrick? What's he looking at?
Us.
He's looking at us! Exactly! Wait a minute! We're not there in the past, are we? How come he's looking at us? I always love it when this happens in a history painting. Because how can that possibly be that one of the characters would look at us? Look at him. He's looking at us. History is happening and he's looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, Abby?
Maybe it's because he's... maybe he's looking at something that's beyond the frame of the photo, but beyond the frame of the photo is pretty much where we are.
Yeah, so no. It is the case sometimes that a character looks off into the distance, and therefore he's not looking at any particular object, and he is in thought, typically. He's thinking about something, just as this man is. He's thinking about something that's not visible. In this case, since he's looking up into the heavens, the idea is he's thinking about God. Now, when this boy looks out at us, it's not some object over our shoulders. Some other thing that's not that we might have to guess what it is, and we could guess forever guessing. He's looking at us. So what that does is, if somebody looks at you, it means he knows you're there. Now, wait a minute. How can a history character know that you're there? This is an interesting question, and I will leave you with it. And I think I will show you another example of it next time if somebody reminds me. I'm going to show you another example of a character who knows that we're there. But we're out of time for today, so we're going to have an exciting session next time. And we will look at more characters and what they are looking at. And Eric, because boy, this guy's looking out of the painting. He's obviously looking off into the distance. And so on and so forth. So we're going to have to take a really close look at all the different characters. But think about what it means for a character in history to look out at you. That's going to be your challenge for this week. All right, we'll come back to it next week. And, there's a lot of wonderful things to look at in this painting, so I hope you'll enjoy it. And so my last question for today was, Jeremy, I wanted to know what your first impression was because you didn't want to tell us. Go ahead. Because I have to know, now that you said I don't want to share it, now I have to know. Can you please share it? Oh, you're teasing me. That's too... Now you really got me curious. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye. And we'll talk to you Monday. Bye.
Bye. Bye.